Welcome to Talk of the Town on 1290 CJBK. A beautiful looking Wednesday morning in the city. You're with Dan Gall. It's time for Left, Right, and Center. And our guest, welcome back to Marion Boyd.
Thanks, Dan.
Pleasure to have you back.
Good to be here.
You have been on business, I guess.
Yes.
And not available for the show. So it's great to have you back. And Bob Metz is with us
morning,
as well.
Dan.
Left, right, and center. Our numbers are 643-1290, star 1290 on the Cantel Network. Last week, Bob, you brought to our attention, not on the air, but off air, a letter that was circulating or forwarded to some people. We also had this morning, and it was to do with the Northern Alliance. The London Free Press, I believe it was Friday, had a story on the organization, the Northern Alliance.
And suggesting, Saturday as well.
And Saturday as well. Suggesting their affiliation with such organizations as the Ku Klux Klan and some other organizations. Mm-hmm. This morning we had a interview with a superintendent of the police.
Who was the writer of the letter.
That's correct. That's right, Lucio.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, because Marion has not been with us for the last couple of weeks, if maybe we could replay that interview with Steve Garrison that was held this morning, because I'd like to hear what the police have to say about Northern Alliance, and then your comments afterwards, if that's okay.
Sure.
Ryan, have we got that tape ready to go? This is an interview with Steve Garrison this morning with Detective Superintendent David Lucio on 1290 CJBK.
This morning it's Detective Superintendent Dave Lucio from the City Police. Good morning, Superintendent.
Good morning, Steve. How are you this morning?
Good, and thank you very much for joining us.
No problem.
If we had to describe Northern Alliance to our listeners this morning, how would you describe them, David?
Well, I guess how we described them already in the letter was an organization which we believe holds extreme right-wing beliefs.
Okay, and what would be their ages?
Their ages. They're not teenagers. They're in their 20s.
Okay, and how many members would you would suggest?
They're ranging in the numbers around 20.
Okay. My understanding in this group here, and again, if you can't answer it, please just say, hey, Steve, I can't answer it. My understanding is this group targets members of minority groups here in the city. Is that correct?
We've had a number of occurrences with them where they've been involved in assaultive behavior, and yes, some of their people were targeted groups.
Okay, now when you talk about assaulting behavior, how would you describe it, David?
Well, we identified this group through their criminal activity, and I think that's important that people know that. I mean, we didn't target them for any beliefs that they have. It was a simple fact that through occurrences that we investigated, assaults, we have disturbances, and it became apparent to us that these people had a considerable amount of things in common. Their appearance was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they really don't hold back. They have no problem telling you what they believe in. So when you approach them and they're there, they're espousing their beliefs openly. So it became pretty obvious to us that there was more than one. And when we started to look into it, we found that, in fact, there was considerably more than one, and that they had, in fact, formed a group, and they had given that group a name.
How would you describe their appearance, Dave?
Well, I guess that's what we went forward to tell the community, because I believe it's our duty as, you know, we believe in community policing. We're committed to it. And as such, with partnerships, we have to tell other people in the community mm-hmm. when they're at risk. And I think it's important for us to go forward and do that.
I get a sense here that minorities are at risk. But again, if you can describe their look, because I think that's important for our listeners to know.
Well, I guess that's what we thought was important, too. And that's what we took forward. We told them that basically these people are what most people would call, I guess, skinheads.
Okay.
They dress in baggy clothes, and they wear certain tattoos, and they wear things on their clothes which denote what it is that they believe in, slogans and pins and things like that.
This is 1290 CJBK. With me on the line this morning in a newsmaker interview is Detective Superintendent Dave Lucio. We're talking about a group here in London called Northern Alliance. Now, David, my understanding is you tried to schedule a meeting with the members of this group?
Yes.
Okay. They were informed by letter. Did you have that meeting with them?
The letters were actually personally delivered by one of our officers who actually had identified these individuals as being members. we required them to come to the police station. That's the word that I used, because I required them to come to educate me as to what it was that what they were all about. They chose not to do that. I mean, so I had to go with the intelligence that I had, the information that I had gathered, and I had advised them that this was done basically as a courtesy so that they could educate me. So that, and I told them that I was going to be going forward to tell members of the community about them, and I felt that they were a problem.
So where do we go from here, David? Will we receive more information about this group? And the other question I have for you, I know the OPP out of Orillia, they have a branch called the Hate Crimes Branch. Have they been notified about this group here in the city?
I think everybody pretty well knows about it now. I mean, it's been front page news for a while. I think where we go from here is I did exactly what my letter said. I did go forward. I did make a presentation before the Race Relations Board. Received very positive feedback from them and a lot of other members of the community. We've been requested to do more presentations to the hate bias group from City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's our duty as police officers to inform the community if there's a danger.
And these people are violent or somewhat violent? So that's the gist I'm getting from this conversation.
Well, as I said, they did come to our attention as a result of their criminal behavior.
Okay. From your department within the next month or so about this group, what do you have planned?
Well, I guess what the original plan was to first of all address this group face-to-face and tell them that we knew who they were, we knew that they were in our community, and that we expected them to obey the law.
Okay, that's good. Thank you, Ryan. That was so that our listeners know he did not sleep in, nor are we going back in the hands of time. That was an interview conducted with Steve Garrison this morning with Detective Superintendent David Lucio, and the superintendent came on the air. You heard what he said this morning, and this is to do with the letter that was circulated. Your takes on this and your thoughts.
Well, what actually happened is that two of the gentlemen who received this letter did not go to the police station on the Sunday. They came into my office on the Monday morning. And I can assure you neither of them fit the image that was just painted by Detective Lucio.
You mean 20-year-olds?
Oh, they're possibly in their 20s. Skinheads, no, farthest thing from it. One of them, his hair was definitely down past his shoulders, someone you'd more expect to meet in the late 1960s. The other one, very clean and proper and in a suit and having a regular haircut, which was, by the way, cut off in the picture that the London Free Press ran on Saturday, which I thought was very funny because that interview was conducted in my office and I taped it as well, and the paper did not report what was going on adequately in that interview. So that what we have here is a letter that by its very nature, it doesn't matter who wrote it or how it was written, in a free society, the police just don't go around writing letters requiring people to come down to the police station to discuss their politics with them. If that isn't political, I don't know what is. And if the person is in any way guilty of any crime, well, tell us what the crime is. What is the crime? What is the assault? There's none associated with this group. They held the straight pride march opposite the gay pride march last summer here in London. I have their literature and flyers from that period, and it was very clear on everything. No violence tolerated. We're not going to be doing it, that kind of a protest. Raphael Bergman, the person who has been identified as the leader of this group, which, by the way, doesn't exist anymore. The last thing they did was that thing in the summer, and the last meeting they had when they have their discussion groups and coffee houses and stuff, which are open to anyone of any race, and people do show up, was last February. Now, he has already filed a complaint with the Police Services Board asking them to produce any evidence of criminal behavior. He has no criminal record that he knows of. He's a past Olympic champion for Canada, bronze medal. I mean, this is not the guy that I would ever identify as an urban terrorist in the wildest stretch of my imagination.
Mary,
and they're terrified of the police, to be frank with you. I mean, mm-hmm. When you get letters like this, you don't know what to do. Their lawyers advise them to stay away. And I have a whole pile of clippings and newspaper clippings and other issues related to this that doesn't reveal any of the fears that the police are expressing.
Why did they come to you, Bob?
Possibly because they have heard me on the show here. They saw what I had done on the Elijah Iliff case, which was covered in Scene magazine, another story the Free Press has been refusing to cover. So they figure maybe, you know, and we believe in freedom of speech. Absolutely. And
Marion, what's your take after hearing the interview this morning? And I know that you've been kind of coming out of left field on this one. What's your take on this?
Well, I always come out of left field, of course, Dan. We all know
that. So you're used to that? Okay.
I'm used to that.
Okay.
You know, I obviously don't have the in-depth information about this that that Bob has. I would suggest that, you know, since a complaint has been lodged, and since this has become an issue, that there is concern. Obviously, the community is expressing concern about the actions the police have taken. But one of the issues that, you know, we need to be looking at, we do ask for more proactive policing in terms of community policing, as Superintendent Lucio suggested. There's been, over the years, criticism of the police for not taking proactive action when segments of the community are feeling threatened by other groups. Bob states categorically there's no criminal activity. Superintendent Lucio says there is. I assume the facts of that matter will come out if there is an inquiry by the Police Services Board. The reality is we would criticize the police very severely if they had information about a group that suggested they were a danger to the community and they didn't take action. There's been a lot of criticism about the police not being proactive on gangs in other circumstances. If we look at the motorcycle gang situation, for example, in our community, there have been many citizens who feel that the police should have been much more proactive in terms of dealing with the known criminal activity of those
groups.
What
can you do to somebody who's not breaking a crime, who's not committing a crime, but is merely associated or considered associated with someone?
Well,
by virtue of the fact that these two guys walked into my office, I am now part of the Right Wing Alliance, no doubt, in the police's mind. So
well,
I have a lot of my own self-interest at stake
make
here, because I don't know what an extreme right-wing belief is. I thought I had all of them, and I didn't get one of those letters.
Well,
yet,
you know,
I'm not going to walk into that doo-doo. I will simply say to you, Bob, that what they were asked to do was to attend at the police headquarters and to answer some questions about that had arisen
Doesn't just the tone and what the letter says, the London Police Service has identified you and several others as members of the Northern Alliance, an organization which holds extreme right-wing beliefs. I mean, not an organization that has been tied to violent activity, not an organization that has a criminal record. From what these guys tell me, the only people they know who have any sort of criminal activity, one fellow got in a bar fight, which probably gives him a record, but has nothing to do with activities of his group, and there was no group activity going on, so that by the fact that he has allowed someone to one of his meetings who had previous problems with the police, now he's guilty, too, by association.
Well, Bob, let Marion answer that question, because I'm interested in her response
I think
to that.
This is scary.
Does this letter bother you, Marion?
I certainly would not have expected the police to write a letter which dealt with beliefs. That worries me. I think Bob is right in saying that to require people to attend the headquarters because of their beliefs, gives me cause, and that's why, as I say, this will have to be dealt with in terms of a complaint that's been made. I do, however, believe that the police have the responsibility, if they have intelligence, if they have reason to believe that a group is dangerous to the community, to take some action. Now, had they said here that they had been identified as members of a group that was causing trouble or that seemed to be doing concerted activities, that sort of thing, and they required them to come in and talk about it, I probably wouldn't be as concerned. That's certainly where I would stand. So I'm worried a little bit that it would be the beliefs that were targeted as opposed to the actions. I think that is reason to, and that's why, as I say, I think it's a good thing that a complaint has been filed, because I think that whole issue needs to be looked into.
By going after people as members of a group, it cannot be anything else but belief and political, because criminal activities are individual things.
I'm sorry, that's not true, as you well know. If you look at the motorcycle gang activity, if you look at the activities of some of the groups that have marauded in Toronto, it is a question of their criminal activity as a group, The motorcycle gang example.
So what you're saying
example,
is if Hell's Angels in Toronto killed somebody, a Hell's Angels member in Alberta should be tried for murder.
No, I'm saying that when Hell's Angels has has been alleged many times by police across the country, have a network that runs drugs and that deals drugs from province to province, that indeed that is an activity that is a group activity, a conspiracy. And that we should worry about. So when the police have information that suggests that there is a conspiracy that is focused on activities that are criminal, number one, and that threaten members of the community, I do believe they should act.
But don't
that's activities,
they act on
not beliefs.
Evidence and proof and make that known?
Absolutely, I just said that.
We are talking about the Northern Alliance allegedly performing some criminal activities. We're going to discuss that in detail as well this hour. We do have to take a break. We do have some callers that want to put some input into this. We will be back with Marion Boyd, Bob Metz. You're listening to Left, Right, and Center on 1290 CJBK.
Welcome back. You're listening to Left, Right, and Center with Marion Boyd, Bob Metz. Good morning. I'm Dan Gall, 643-1290. Star 1290 on the Cantel Network. And if you've just joined us, we've been talking about the reports that we've been hearing about the organization called Northern Alliance. We just, if you just joined us, replayed Steve Garrison's interview with the author of the letter that was sent to us. I believe it was seven members? Or
so we've been told by the police, although there's some conflict on how many went out. Some people got two and three letters.
David Lucio was on the air this morning talking about the Northern Alliance, and I know that we have some calls now to go to, and we would like to say and welcome Tom to the program. Tom, hi. Tom is not there. Too long on hold. Let's go to Raphael. Raphael, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Yeah, I was the recipient. Obviously, I'm the one that's been in the paper, the recipient of this letter that sets a very dangerous precedent here. I've never been required to tell my beliefs to anyone by under duress, especially a police force. And this is one of the reasons when several of us had asked to send lawyers in to represent us, as obviously the letter seemed, and anyone who reads it, and I'm going to get this out to a lot more people, it's very threatening. So we sent, we asked to send lawyers in, and they were refused. In fact, they were said they were not welcome, and that was very angrily said. So without legal representation, I did not feel confident to go in there by myself to explain this whole business of the Northern Alliance, which has been defunct since February, and I have the proof for it. So when they say in the newspaper that it says that the Northern Alliance recruits members regularly and meets regularly in the present tense, I'm telling you they're stepping on dangerous ground, and it looks like political opportunism to me.
Raphael, let me ask you some questions. Did you hear the interview with Detective Lucio?
Yes, I did, and it's just the same. No factual conjecture. It's all conjecture. There's no facts. They didn't even warn the targets of society that we were allegedly targeting. They didn't define who we were against, who we were targeting. Everything that they said that they would do, they didn't do. In fact, all as it looked like to me, and any Londoner that thinks critically will see right through it and see it for what it is, and see that this is just a smear campaign against the gentleman that put on the Straight Pride March. And that's obviously what it is, and it has been very effective. Now I am taking steps. I have launched a complaint with the Police Services Board as to why, how any police department or anyone can require me to tell my views to them, my political views, and I absolutely refuse under duress when it contravenes the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. This is a blatantly downright wrong.
So are you here to tell us today that Northern Alliance, and this is an organization, correct me if I'm wrong, that you organized?
I'm going to tell you something. I organized it. I'm not a leader or any of this sort of fascist terms. I'll tell you what it was. It was a discussion group. We talked about everything from politics to hockey. Anyone was welcome, and I'll tell you something else. This idea of proactive policing would have been a lot more effective if any one of these people that were gathering intelligence on us or any of this sort of business, spying on innocent civilians, If they really wanted to practice proactive policing, they would have just asked us to join in the discussion instead of doing this whole spying thing, this whole write-up in the paper about urban terrorism. I'll tell you, I'm the farthest thing from an urban terrorist. That is so easily provable. I have so much character references. I have tried to represent Canada in Olympic team trials this year in a Korean Taekwondo. I'm well known in the Korean community amongst other communities. And this is basically a political discussion group that I see as terrible political opportunism to either destroy the straight pride, or I don't know what their agenda is, but I'll tell you something, they have too much time and too much money in their hands. I think they should not sell the art that they're going to be selling in the paper. And instead, I think they should save that money and just stop policing citizens for their views.
Raphael, then what...
That would save some on their budget.
Raphael, what do you make of the allegation then of Detective Lucio, who said on the air this morning that that the Northern Alliance is conducting criminal activity, including assaults, disturbances?
What I'm going to say is this, is that a group has been highlighted that, in Lucio's own words, has committed no offenses. So then why highlight then the individuals? This is what I don't understand. And then they imply guilty by association to me. I'll tell you something. I was involved also in a poetry club, and I read poetry, and this is one thing I like to do. I like to write and write poetry. And I know that there's people a part of that poetry club that were not innocent and had a criminal record, and yet does the police go after the poetry club? I mean, come on now. I've never seen anything so draconian as to require me for my beliefs to come down. And when I asked to send my lawyer, they refused.
Marion, what do you make of that?
I'm puzzled by it. I mean, all of us have the right to be to legal representation, and so I'm puzzled by it and disturbed.
What is there? Is Raphael doing what he can do with regards to? Looking into an investigation into this?
Well, certainly if he's lodged a complaint, that's the appropriate thing for him to do if he believes that the police have acted outside their role, which he clearly does. Current government, of course, changed the police complaints procedure in such a way that it is certainly not as protective of citizens' rights as it was previously. That the first investigation is done at the police service that's complained against. And if a decision is that it's not a valid complaint, then there is an appeal, but it's certainly not the process that had been set in place in the late 80s when there was a lot of concern about police treatment of citizens. So yes, he's done what he can under the current complaint procedure, and it'll have to... It'll have to await the outcome of that.
Any questions for Raphael with regards to this?
Well, it's interesting. I would like to say that there is an irony when you look at the police complaints that were lodged by the group of gay men who were opposed to the Project Guardian behavior of the police. They also lodged complaints, which did not get anywhere, because of police behavior that they felt was equally as inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And so I find a certain irony that we have two groups here that are concerned about the same issue from opposite sides.
Maybe
who both complain against the police.
Go ahead, Raphael.
I'm sorry, if I can just comment on it. Yeah, I agree, Marion. It does look ironic, except for the fact that in this case it was about views, and in the other case it was about alleged behavior. I do sympathize with the gay community for some of what they have gone through, and I'm taking a double take on some of those issues that the police have dealt with them. However, again, this is something to do absolutely with views, and I have been colored by guilt by association with the weakest links to this criminal urban terrorist organization, and I have not heard anyone called that at all since Vivi Leamonis in Toronto. Her attackers and killers were called urban terrorists, and they killed this woman with a shotgun brutally, and they were construed as urban terrorists. I have merely held views. And here I am being described as the same thing. So I have no understanding here. The smear campaign, my personal, my business, my athletic reputation, and my political reputation now has been totally smeared, and I'm wondering who has to gain from this, and I will be looking into that and finding out who.
Further to that, though, Raphael, you were also painted and described as, well, the at least the Northern Alliance has been described as skinheads.
Skinheads. I'd like to see. I'd like to see pictures of this. I'd also like to see pictures and information that Lucio, this videotape that he released to the Race Relations Committee of illegal activity that has been done by the Northern Alliance. I'm very questioning about that. I am not a skinhead. I will not go on about my views over the phone, whatever. I think people seen what my views were at the Straight Pride event. And anyone who asks me, I'll feel free to give them, but I will not give them under threat.
Raphael, we thank you for your time and your call this morning.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And let's go to Jim now. Jim, welcome to the show.
Interesting show. A while back, I was charged with a criminal offense, and let me preface it that the charge was thrown out of court. It was dismissed. It was a silly charge. But being the kind of individual that I am, before you go to court, you get fingerprinted, right? And so I'm down there being fingerprinted, and being the kind of purist that I am, I see on the wall, as the little cadet guy is fingerprinting you there, the act. I forget the number. Maybe Marion knows it, Act 73 or 63, an act to identify a criminal. So I said to the police officer, "That's wrong." He goes, "Huh? That's wrong. What do you mean?" I says, "An act to identify a criminal." I says, "I haven't been convicted. I'm not a criminal." He goes, "You know, you got a point there, sir." I says, "Do you know why they have that? Do you know why the government formed it that way? Do you know why, Dan?"
"No idea."
"It's either that or it's an act to identify a citizen. And there's no way the public would put up with that."
Well, obviously, you know, there has to be a charge laid, at which point the fingerprints are taken. If you're not found guilty, then those records are supposed to be destroyed.
But you can't. I have no problem being fingerprinted. I've got them to hide. But the act says an act to identify a criminal. You're not a criminal until you're convicted by either a judge or jury of your peers.
Yeah, I can't remember when that act would have come in. It would have been quite a long time ago, I would think.
But it's wrong.
It may well be.
Because I wasn't a criminal. And I've been, so, I mean that's what I mean, that the whole premise here is that we're convicting people based upon, we don't put people in jail just because they may murder. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have to find the person based upon what their actions have done. This really,
however,
really scares
Jim,
me.
If we were on proactive policing, we would have to put people away in jail before they commit a murder.
No kidding.
I mean, the idea of proactive, I mean, when we talk about force should never be proactive. It should always be defensive. And when we use proactive force, it's called initiating force against somebody. So that's the thing that we have to ban in society, is the initiation of force by one person against another.
Well, I don't think proactive policing suggests proactive force. I think that there's a somewhat of a difference there, just to be very, very blunt and clear. One of the reasons the names of what we used to call police forces got changed to police services was partly to reinforce the fact that our community does not expect the police simply to exert force. We expect them to serve us and to protect us and to take the actions that are necessary to do that.
Everything
not simply
the police
to use
do is
force.
Force. Even if this letter is force, because it threatens force and it threatens the consequence. That's the issue. And that when you're, you know, you get a letter here, before releasing any information, the London Police Service has organized a meeting with you to allow you to express your point of view. Now, if they want to know what these people think, what their ideas are, just go to their meetings, read their literature. If anybody wants to read what Freedom Party thinks, go on our website, come into our office, we've got tons of stuff. You don't need to drag us down to the police station to tell you the obvious. And if you've already in the past been saying you don't believe in violence, you don't believe in all these socially unacceptable things, what do they want to talk about? I don't get it.
Yeah. Bob, when I was being interviewed by the policeman in regards to this charge, you know, they take your statement, yada, yada. Then they put a form in front of you which says, they ask you to make your statement, and the top of the form says, you may or may not be charged with a criminal offense. So I said to the officer, am I being charged or am I not being charged? He says, well, we don't know that yet. I says, unless you can tell me that I am being charged today, I am not signing anything unless I have a lawyer here. This is what they do. So what I do now, even when a cop pulls me over for a traffic light, I say to him, I'd like to exercise my right to silence and have a lawyer representation. And the cop looks at you with a dumb look on his face. Pardon me? Because the first thing that comes out of your mouth is what they take. So just be silent. And you've got that right to be silent. And this smacks of totalitarianism. It scares the living daylight out of me.
Well, it scares the living daylights out of me if the police can't ask questions and can't get information when they have reasonable and probable grounds to assume that an offense has been committed.
Let me give you an example, man. I'll tell you something else that I'm against. I'm against the RIDE program.
Oh, well.
Let me tell you why. I'm a law-abiding citizen, don't have no criminal record, and I'm driving down the road, and I'm forced over for no reason at all. They have no probable grounds, and they detain me for half an hour, 15 or 20 minutes. What right do they have to do that?
They have a legal right because the law was passed and it has been upheld by the Supreme Court.
But do they have the moral right to do it?
They don't have the moral right either.
To protect the rest of us from drunk drivers, absolutely they do.
Then they'd have the moral right to do anything anyway.
Laws that punish the drunk drivers so that there's a precedent that will prevent you from driving drunk. Don't pull me over. What would happen if I was going from here to a place with a $30 million quote and had to be on time by 12 midnight? And they pulled me over at 11:45 and my quote didn't make it there on time. Would I have a case to sue the police force? Because I have no criminal record. I wasn't drinking. But they pulled me over for no reason at all. You see, this is a higher level of law that we have to address in our society, and it's just another issue as far as I'm concerned.
Jim, I thank you for your comments and your take this morning. We appreciate it. Marion Boyd and Bob Metz are with us. It's Left, Right, and Center. We have to take a quick break. We'll be back. Our numbers are 643-1290, star 1290 on the Cantel Network. We'd be interested in hearing your input and your take on the Northern Alliance and the police's association and role with the Northern Alliance. 643-1290, star 1290 on the Cantel Network. We'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to Talk of the Town. It's Left, Right, and Center this morning with Marion Boyd, Bob Metz. I'm Dan Gold. Good morning. 643-1290, star 1290 on the Cantel Network. We're talking about this morning the group Northern Alliance. We've actually heard from the so-called leader, Raphael, who phoned in on the program to explain what the organization is about and apparently has been disbanded. Marion, looking at this letter, listening to Raphael, reading what you have in the London Free Press with regards to this issue, how do you read into this? I mean, what's your thinking on this?
Well, I'm puzzled. I mean, I can't believe that the police don't believe very strongly that they have grounds to be concerned about this group. I mean, they're too busy to be taking off on things like this unless they have some reason to be concerned. And it may well be that they believe that it would interfere with either one investigation or a number of investigations if they were very open about what that is. So my guess is, as it very often happens when we hear about actions that the police are taking, they may say that they know things that they can't release at that point because of the implications to an investigation. So that may well be. I don't know that, I am concerned that we're not talking about the response as being in relation to actions which certainly Superintendent Lucio indicated had occurred that led them to believe that this was a dangerous group as opposed to individuals who may have had criminal activity. They must have some reason to believe this, and I think that it would be of much greater comfort if we had some sense of what that was.
If by saying that, then Marion, are we to not believe Raphael?
I'm saying to that obviously there are diametrically opposed viewpoints that we've heard described here. They are the subject of a complaint against the police services. One assumes that will be adjudicated and some result will be reached. I certainly can't judge who's right. I certainly wouldn't call either of these two men liars. I don't know what the situation is, but I certainly think that the concern that's been raised is a concern that all of us should share.
In the letter, too, it says, "We believe it is our responsibility to inform and educate the community with respect to the Northern Alliance and its connection to other extremist groups." But as we discussed during the break, Marion, you said that they're not allowed to give out individual information on individual criminal records, which I know for a fact because I told you
Absolutely.
About that story. So In other words, the police cannot tell us anything about the people in this group. All they can tell us about is the group, which is a vague collection of God knows what, and how they even identify a group or how you get identified with an affiliation. I've probably run into some of the worst lawbreakers over the past 10 years that come across Freedom Party from guys like Paul Magder, who broke Sunday shopping laws week after week, to people like Gordon Dahm, who came to us because of his being prevented from telling people about the Carl Homolka situation when there was a press ban on that. This is scary stuff, and unfortunately, the free press here isn't helping to defuse the situation, which we had hoped when we called them into the office last week. They again here repeat these charges from the police, saying that there's some affiliation between Raphael's group and the Ku Klux Klan and the World Church of the Creator. Now, I happen to know that Brody Fenlon, the reporter, asked him specifically about these affiliations, and nobody knew anything about the World Church of the Creator, although one fellow said he went to their website and found out they were vegetarian and he didn't want anything to do with that. And that's about as far as you can reach for these things. If the police are going to inform us, show us the connection, show us the criminal activity, show us, if that's your mandate, then you have to tell us this.
So you're saying there is a discrepancy to actually what was said in that interview, because you have it on tape, versus what the public read in the London Free Press?
Not just an omission, let's put it that way. All kinds of discrepancies by omissions. And I thought this article should have, like even the beginning, London police violating rights, group charges. Well, they didn't make any charge. That was the reporter asking Tyler Chillicott, who's quoted here, he asked him, do you think that your charter rights have been violated? And Tyler responds, and he correctly quotes him here, I think it's possible that they violated my civil rights. Well, suddenly that little statement becomes London group police violating rights, group charges. A group that they were sitting there telling them doesn't exist anymore.
Robert, what's your take on this? Welcome to the show.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
It's very scary, actually, but I have a couple of comments.
Yep, love to
One
hear
One is that, frankly, I don't think that this letter alone or the actions of the police in this instance alone mean that we have a police state. I think that if they get away with it, then we do have a police state. And I think Raphael should pursue it vigorously. And to the extent that they can, perhaps Marion or Bob Metz can pursue it vigorously. But I don't think that the police should get away with demanding that people, because of their views, should be rounded up for questioning. That's unthinkable in Canada. The second comment that I have would be that apparently, if you're politically incorrect, if you don't agree with the prevailing view of the politicians, you're labeled. You're labeled urban terrorist, right-wing, skinhead, extremist. These labels I saw not only as being quoted from the police, but those were labels used by the free press as well. Not as quotations from the police, but by the free press to label this group, you know, whatever the group is, I have no idea what it is, but, you know, and those were labels. I saw no facts whatsoever printed in the free press regarding the actions of members of this group. I saw no facts to indicate why their views may be labeled the way they were labeled. I saw no facts as to what their views even are. I saw nothing but innuendo in the newspaper. And I tell you, if these the police get away with rounding up people because of their views, we're headed down a path we cannot escape from.
Robert, I thank you for your call, and we will get a response from Marion and Bob. Going to take a quick break, though, to get that done, and we'll be back on 1290 CJBK's Left, Right, and Center. And welcome back here with Dan Gall, along with Marion Boyd and Bob Metz, Left, Right, and Center. And this hour, we've been talking about the group Northern Alliance and the alleged involvement that they have with regards to criminal activity that we heard Detective Lucio speak of on this radio station this morning. Some closing comments, Bob?
Yeah, I guess it's still an open issue as to gather all the facts and the laws behind this. Freedom Party's leader, Lloyd Walker, has written to Solicitor General David Tabushi and basically asked him three questions. The first being, we would like to be provided with a list of left and right-wing beliefs that are considered extreme by whoever. We don't even know, but that would result in a call from police in Ontario. We also want to know whether it's the position of his office that people who have certain beliefs should be required to go to talk to the police. And we also are looking for the legislation that requires police to take such action, because I've never seen anything like this in 15 years of politics.
Marion?
Well, there certainly have been changes to the criminal code in the last few years to try and deal with gang issues. The police have certainly been given powers that they did not previously have because of the seriousness with which the Justice Department in Ottawa considers gang issues. I certainly think, however, that to try and make this a cause célèbre that suggests that we've got a police state and that we're trying to suppress everybody's political views is in itself an extreme view of a particular situation. I think we should allow the process to go through and see what happens in terms of the complaint that's been lodged, and on the basis of what the result of that is, we may all be in a better position to know exactly how serious this incident is.
Quickly, in your opinion, was it worth our attention this morning?
Oh, I think so. I think we need to always be paying attention to issues when citizens, no matter what their views are, believe that they are being harassed by police officials. We always should be concerned.
That's all the time we have. Bob Metz, thank you.
Thanks.
Marion Boyd, thank you. Welcome back. You've been listening to Left, Right, and Center. I'm Dan Gall. Next hour, it's Ask the Experts with Chris Cahill, financial and investment advice for the calling. Give us a call at 1230 on 1290 CJBK.